as they say, the scriptures. 1 Samuel chapter 7, very familiar passage of scripture, 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Talk about David and Goliath. I'm still on the course about champions. And we're going to go on it as the Lord leads. Amen. And when I saw the challenges we had today, I said, everything is nothing but a test, and I am a champion, which means I am not moved by adversity, but adversity builds my strength. Are y'all hearing me? I'm talking to the champions today. We're going to go to about 10 scriptures. Just follow me as we jump along. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and the 8th verse. And he stopped and cried. I got the right chapter, Lord. Yes. Unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine? This is Goliath talking. And you a servant of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. Now, in this culture, sometimes in war, they would have two champions fight. Verse 9. And if you be able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. Verse 10. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when Saul and all Israel, the church, heard these words of the Philistine, they were scared, dismayed, as the King James say, and greatly afraid. The church was scared. Verse 22. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And he talked with them. Behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard him. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were so afraid. And the men of Israel, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel. He has come up, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. You didn't have to pay no taxes. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that kills this Philistine? In other words, I ain't studying your fear. And take away the reproach from the church. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Two last verses, 50 and 51. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistines and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistine saw the champion was dead, they fled. We're going to preach about facing giants today. Amen. I love, we got to touch one another so y'all know this. Put your Bible down and grab your neighbor by the hand, because your neighbor has to face giants as well as you. But we are God's champion. Amen. Let that neighbor know, let that person know you're holding the hand of the champion of God. Come on, talk to him. Amen. If you don't believe it about yourself, say it in faith. Amen. Tell somebody, I am God's champion. Father, we thank and we praise you today for your glorious challenges, for your tests, for your worship and your mercy. We thank you for your grace, Lord, for your grace is sufficient, Lord, and your strength is made perfect within our weakness. We thank you for this opportunity to worship together, to glorify your name. We thank you, God, for how you just smile upon us, God, for strengthening us and how you take us through all the storms of life. For only a God like you is able, God, to give us shelter in the times of the storms of life. You're only God that can raise the dead. You're only God that gives something out of nothing. And Lord, we come to you now for wisdom to endure. Wisdom and strength, God. Help us to be the soldiers you called us to be. Someone in their personal life has some challenges. They have some obstacles that they need to overcome. Someone needs to sharpen their sword because they've been fighting a good fight all week. Their sword is dinged and it's knit and it's dull. But Lord, we pray through the word of the Holy Spirit that you will put a razor's edge on both edges of the sword, that they can fight a good fight in the name of Jesus. Those that don't know you, give them illumination and revelation and bring them into the kingdom of God. We ask you to anoint your man serving God. Take him behind, hide him behind the cross. Give me an ear to hear what the Holy Spirit says to the church. Give me an end time revelation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let the champions of God give them some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give them some glory. We can't praise him enough. Every time I turn around, you're telling me to clap and praise God. We can't praise him enough. You don't want to go to heaven if you don't like praising God. Because there they praise him 24/7. And before you be seated, I want you to declare, prophesy over your life and say, I am God's champion. It behooves me to repeat some of the things that I had taught on in the last couple of weeks to bring it in your hearing. Faith come by hearing and hearing the word of the Lord. And for those of you who are not familiar with the sermon, I was using the analogy of the past Olympics as the Holy Spirit was letting us see who we are in Christ Jesus. And if you are interested, or I encourage you to get the tape, or the CD or the DVD from that service, where I spoke about these issues in depth. I talked about those Olympians that, to me, that stood on top to give us direction about who we are in Christ Jesus. Started off talking about the gold medalist Michael Phelps, who got 22 gold medals, and regardless of what happens in the future, he is now noted as the greatest Olympian of all times, despite. And one of the things that I didn't mention last week was when I was watching the preliminaries of him, because of his past success, that when he was going to, I forget what heat it was, the commentator said, well, he is not in this race, and it doesn't look as though he may achieve the goals that he has had in the past. We know that he is pursuing some goals, but due to the fact that he is not going to participate in this particular feat, he may not make it. And so in my mind, I was saying, well, Phelps is, you know, he's doing his best. And I watched the other swimmers. And lo and behold, at the end of it, he came to the top as one of the greatest Olympians of all time. And why does that mean? What does that mean to me? What it means to me is this, is that sometimes people will look over your life and we will view a situation of a hindrance or a defeat, and it seems as though that is our measure. But if we have the mind of a champion and continue to pursue and continue to endeavor, amen, we will find out that we can do great things in our lives. Don't let where you are dictate where you're going. I'm not going to elaborate. Get the DVD of Gabby Gabriella Douglas, the little young girl who, amen, has defeated the challenges. And I emphasize that she came from a single parent home. I talked about an Oriental who came from Korea. To him is very unique, and they argued, is he or is he not? You can be considered legally blind if you don't have a certain vision capacity. Dog Hahn was a archer who was 10% blind in his left eye and 20% blind in his right. But yet he got a gold medal off of the images and the determination that he had. He did not let his handicap stop his pursuit. I've talked about in depth Oscar Pretorius. He's a South African. This young man was the first double amputee to compete in the Olympians. Amen. And this young man was from birth, they cut his legs off, his fibulas off, and designed apparatus that gave him the ability to function as someone who is normal. I like this because those of you who are listening to this CD, those of you who may be watching this DVD or sitting in this audience have complained about your inabilities, have viewed your shortcomings and your financial, whether it's financials or whether it's in your education, whether it's in your culture, whether it's in your family, and you have allowed the enemy to use those issues to stifle who you are. But yet God shows us through the lives of others that if we can have the mind of a champion, we can overcome every card that's dealt to us that is not conducive to God's purpose for our life. Amen. One that I talked about in the last two sermons was this gentleman by the name of Matigo Mitchell, this African who in the middle of the 400 relay, broke his fibula. And in the pain of a broken leg, he continued the race in order to finish his course. I like that because I would have quit because I don't like pain. I'm a baby when I get sick. I drive my wife crazy. Amen. I don't like needles and none of that stuff. I don't like no hospitals, none of that. Amen. When it hurts, it hurts. Oh, Lord. Amen. The only way I could take it is being mad. And so she has to deal with me. So I could say what determination would I have, but he was devoted to finish his course with a broken leg. How many of us, when God has given us a vision to achieve a goal, because of someone in our lives that didn't want to walk with us, we quit? How many of us who wanted to get a house, but because of financial difficulty, we stopped believing we can have a house? How many of us who know we know we can be in a place of God, of righteousness and holiness, but because of a reoccurring submission to a sin, we allow the enemy make us feel as though we would never really feel deliverance? But yet this man said, with the pain, I'm determined to continue. To me, these four people that are all those Olympians are great champions. And I refuse to let how I feel any longer with these great examples. Do I have one person on this side and one person on that side that's in agreement? Hallelujah. We're going to finish the race. Is that right? Amen. What is a champion? A champion is a person who has defeated or surpassed all rivals in a competition. The scripture lets us know that we are in a race. One who fights, amen, or argues for a cause on the behalf of someone else. A champion sometimes is considered a hero, a brave warrior. Amen. One who is bold. One who is a champion for the truth. And looking at the definition, I consider myself as a champion. Amen. God's champion and our Lord, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible declares in Romans 8:14, that for many that are led by God, they are the sons of God. Because of what Christ has done on the cross, he has given me victory over sin. He has given me victory over my flesh. He has put all the components for me to have and to live a victorious life. The scripture lets me know in Romans is likewise, amen, I can consider myself a dead indeed unto sin and have the mind of Christ. Amen. So therefore, we are more than conquerors. How? Not in our own ability, but in Christ Jesus. The scripture lets us know in Romans 14 that we should do the fact that we are called the sons of God. Amen. The world doesn't know us not. Amen. Because it knew him not. Romans 8:19, for the earnest of our expectation of the creatures is waiting. This world, amen, that is going down is waiting for the manifestation, the visibility, the visible operation, manifestation, amen, the power of the sons of God. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, who are the champions? Not those that declare something that they are not to live a lie, but those that accepted Jesus Christ as their savior. As many that has received him, embraced him, acknowledged him, amen, amen, as a savior, to them gave them power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I like the King James rendering, because we can receive him and not believe him. He can tell us we're a champion and don't believe it. He can tell us we're coming out of a situation and don't believe it. He can tell us we're healed, but because how we feel, we don't believe it. He can tell us we're delivered, but because we still feel weak, we don't believe it. So we can receive him and not believe him. Saints of God, you got to be complete in Christ Jesus. It's not about how you feel. It's not about what you see, but it's about what he has provided for you and who he is. And your weapon of warfare is to come in alignment with the word of God. And if God says that you're healed, amen, to the grave, you got to give him the praise and say, by his stripes I'm healed. If God says you're saved, I don't care how many times you fall down, just get back up and say, I'm in the process to perfection. Why? Because God says that I'm washed in the blood, and he has given me the ability to walk and live in the righteousness of God. Somebody in here better make sure you realize today, if you don't do nothing, that you are a champion of God if you're saved. For those, amen, a champion of God, like those, amen, those athletes in the Olympians, in the Olympics, we have to realize that, amen, that in Christ, we have to pursue a particular goal. Amen. When you look at these Olympians, they were doing it for a corruptible crown. Amen. They was doing for something for a temporary recognition. It can be in the books, and they can be, as historically, it would be recorded of their achievements, but that is as far as it would go. But in that discipline that they had a goal in their lives. They had a dedication in what they were pursuing to reach that goal. They had patience in order to do it. They knew it wasn't going to happen overnight. They didn't just go out and party and then one day say, oh, the Olympics is going to come next week. Let me go out here and get my grip on, get my push-ups on, and then get in the race. No, they didn't do that. But with patience, amen, with self-discipline and with a determination and with a respect for the rules of the game, they pursued their goal. That's very important, saints of God. Somebody said we got to have a goal. When I was preparing for this sermon, I realized with the help of the Holy Spirit that there are three types of people, amen, when it comes down to goals. You have the individual who understands that life is about purpose. And within that purpose, that's my goal. If God has called me, amen, to be a great warrior in Christ, an apostolic deliverer, a prophet, a priest, a minister, amen. If God has called me to be an entrepreneur, God has called me, amen, to be a teacher or a scholar, that is my goal. I have that burden. I have, amen, a drive within me to cook. I have a drive in me, amen, to help children. That is my creative purpose. Because when God created me, he created me with a purpose. Amen. Every time I'm turning around, I'm reading. I'm studious. I just feel it within my spirit. That individual begins to pursue the components to bring that, amen, goal to fruition. They go through life with a purpose. They understand their purpose. Amen. They understand that they were fearfully and wonderfully made. But then you got the second type of individual. Amen. That says, you know what? I don't know why I'm here. I don't know, amen, what I want to be. I don't know, amen, what direction I want to go. Amen. There's so much of variety. Life is a buffet. I don't know what to pick. Amen. I get confused. Sometimes I think it's this. Sometimes I think it's that. This is what happened with children that are not children, but students that go to college. What you going to college for? I'm going to college for graphic arts. And then in the first or the year and a half, they switch their major, because while they were doing, they find out in pursuit of the goal, they don't have the passion for that pursuit. So they begin to examine other possibilities. So that's another individual. But then you got those on the bottom of the barrel. That's the individual that wakes up every day and their goal is, whatever the day throws at me, that's what I am. Amen. If it's drugs, then that's what I am. If it's poverty, well, that's who I am. Well, amen. I have no goal. I have no drive. And then what happens? We have the goals of the system of the God of this world. My goal is every day is to get high. I got to get my head bad. That's the only thing that's on my mind. Got to get my head bad. Got to get gold. Y'all ain't saying that. Amen. That person is empty. That person is mindless. That person, amen, is a puppet of the devil. That person is defeated. That purpose, amen. That person, amen, is a dead end. And I refuse, amen, to be a dead end for the devil. I'm determined to be successful for God. You got to have a goal. You know, the enemy, amen, is after the goals in your life. And I want, you know what? I feel a sermon right there, because sometimes if we don't have goals with balance, we can still get out of order. Oh, I need your help today. Amen. Father, I pray that you let your will be done today. So when we look at these champions in these Olympics, they had to have patience. Amen. Patience is very important. In the book of Romans chapter 5, it lets us know that we should rejoice in tribulation unto the glory of God. Amen. We got to have patience as a champion as we pursue the goals that God has for us. God says there's a level in God. Amen. There's a higher height in the deeper debt. There's a level in life. Amen. My life is not contingent upon who you are. Some people don't have personal identity. They feel they're nothing without, I'm nothing without him. Amen. If he's not in my life, I'm nothing. I'm nothing without having someone, amen, I don't know what they call women now, on their shoulder. Amen. If I ain't got one, I'm nothing. I'm nothing without a car. If I ain't got a car, I'm nothing. Amen. So they mind as they got the car. Some of them get 2 and 3 cars. Park them in the backyard and let them collect rust, because their identity is based on a material apparatus. But I come to tell you that as a champion, amen, I got to have patience in the things of God. And when I'm challenged in the things that happen in life, I can't give up the fight. As God gives me a pursuit to seek him closer and to know him purer, I got to have patience with myself. I can't get frustrated with my failures. I can't get frustrated or distracted, amen, by outward things. I got to stay connected to God in his goal, and that's going to take patience. And I want you to know that in the time of that patience, amen, God will get the glory in your tribulation. Tribulation means test. Life will put a test on your plate. Amen. When you try to do the things that are right, you will be tested. But that testing gives you patience. Somebody say patience. And that patience will give you experience. I tell all those that are connected to me, my young sons and daughters, don't look at your failure and let your failure be your end, but let your failure be your stepping stone. Don't let that failure, amen, bury you. So that failure is your rut, and your rut becomes the grave. Oh, pastor, I messed up. Oh, pastor, that happened. Don't stay there in that low place. But as you go through life, you use that, amen, as a stepping stone to go higher. I learned something from that, and I won't repeat it again. something else is going to go wrong. But you say, I learned something from that. And every negative experience takes me higher in life. And that gives me wisdom to be a champion. Don't let your failures, your defeat, and your discouragement bury you in a grave of no return. Because as God's champion, you serve a God that will call something dead alive. And it's only for you to have an ear to hear his voice, to say, come up here. I don't know what you've been challenged with this week, but you ought to give God a praise right now, because a miracle's coming up your road right now. Oh, come on. I look left and right right now. Am I sitting in the miracle row, or I'm sitting in the bleachers? No, I'm going to have to move my seat, because I'm leaving here with assurance of who I am. Somebody say, I am God's champion. Amen. My hope in God, my experience will give me hope. Hope, amen, is translated in the Greek, confident expectation. I don't know how I'm coming out, but I know I'm coming out, because my confidence is not in myself, it's in God. I don't know how I'm going to overcome this thing. I'm going to pray, Lord, I pray that you have your way. This demon been fighting me all my life. This issue been dealing with me ever since I was a child. I've been in church, I've been saved, I've been on the altar, I rolled on the floor, I had hands laid on me, been prophesied to, but today I still got the devil wrestling with me in the room. But one day I know I'm going to be free. I'm trying to tell you today, as a champion, your hope will not make you ashamed. Hope is confident expectations. You coming out of your situation. Somebody say, I'm coming out. Somebody say, I'm coming out. I got the experience to come out. God is not going to make me ashamed. Somebody say, yes, Lord. You know why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts in the Holy Ghost. God loves you more than you love your situation. Amen. So what we need is in Hebrews 10:36. We have a need of patience, for after that we have done the will of God, we shall receive the promise. A champion has self-discipline. In 1 Corinthians 9:21, it teaches us something about discipline. This is very important, saints of the living God, because discipline for a believer or an athlete is very important. Amen. Every man that is striving for the mastery is temperate in all things. That word temperate means self-control. Those Olympians did it for a gold, silver, or bronze medal. The African runner just wanted to qualify. If he got a medal, it would have been even better. I tell you today, amen, that we are not pursuing a corruptible crown, but a crown that's incorruptible. Amen. And fadeth not away. And as they had to, amen, exercise and work and discipline themselves, as a believer, we're shifting from a church person. I'm a champion. Amen. A church person feels you trying to bind me up because I'm free and I can do what I want to do. No, a champion understands I can't do everything that I want to do. Why? Because I got a goal in mind. I can't waste my money and go to college. I can't get high and pass my exams. I can't run the streets and study. Amen. Because I'm a champion. I want to work in the White House. I got to watch my record. I can't do things that get arrested, get pulled over, and amen, have bad credit. Because where I'm going, it'll be a bad cloud, a dark cloud over my head. So I can't do what you do. Why you can't, man? Because I got a goal in life. I'm the head and not the tail. Somebody give God some praise here. In order to achieve that, though, you got to have self-control. Self-control means temperance or self-mastery. Uh-oh, this is dangerous. I got to master myself. I can't do that. Temperance means self-restraint. Oh, Lord. I might as well bail out the running right now. Because I know me. I know I was looking at a scripture. I forget where it is now. And David, amen, in his prayer. This is when God told David what he was going to do in his life. And then David said, Lord, you deal with me as though I have done some great things. And then David, and I quote, says, he says, but thou knowest who I am. When I read that, a tear came to my eye. Because God can know your mess. God can know exactly who you are and still use
use you. Y'all ain't saying that he'll use you like you're pure as sugar and grand as gold. But you know you got a nasty mouth and a bad disposition. You know you don't love everybody and do trashy stuff. But God will look upon your fault and see the need for your life. Ain't anybody in here hear what I'm saying? You ought to tell the Lord thank you today. Come on, tell the God thank you. Amen. So where am I going to get self-restraint or self-mastery? Paul said that he couldn't do it. Because when I want to do good, evil is present with me. I want to come to prayer, but I got a problem. Flesh wants to do this and the spirit wants to do that. I hear what this pastor is saying and I know there's greater things to me, but I've been over here so long that this person seems strange and unusual. I don't think that I can express or live in the footsteps of this new man. But the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So flesh feels he can't do it, but God says I can. Somebody say I can do what God's called me to do. I need about 10 of y'all looking at me like you're watching TV, to praise God off your spirit, because he's messing with your flesh. God's trying to take you to the, amen, out of the bleachers, onto the track, to give you a gold medal of success. So praise God for yourself. Hallelujah. Come on and praise him. Turn this up a little bit more, son, please. Self-control, self-mastery. I'm going somewhere this. Why? I'm going somewhere with this because this is important. Amen. There's something that T.D. Jakes had preached a long time ago when he was first starting out. He said, the enemy is in me. And we tend to blame everybody else for our failures, but it actually is who we are. And if I can get the over me, I got the victory over everything that I face. So my battle should be about Dennis and not about you. My battle should be about Dennis and not about my circumstance. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I got to put Dennis on the altar. Oh God, I need your help today. Now we looking at, amen, temperance and self-control, self-mastery. Paul said that in me dwelleth no good thing, but when I want to do good, amen, evil is present. Y'all know the scripture, but you know what? I want you to know that a disciplined athlete has to have a level of a life of consecration. I'm going to 1 Corinthians 15:31. They don't just do it because they know it's right. See, I have to. It's like this young man got a camp for the kids playing basketball. Why would they need someone, listen, this is important, listen, with a higher gift to instruct them to be proficient in the desires or their goal? And what are they doing? They just not just coming and just, oh, we going to play some ball here. I'll just watch y'all. Nuh-uh. I'm making you do what kind of reps and push-ups and running, amen, and shoot and all that. Give me another mic, please. Amen. And so when we see that, to perfect that which concerns you. He fighting in poster dice everything today, ain't he? It's all right because he's in trouble. We're champions. And so what I'm saying, so they have to exercise. They have to discipline themselves. Do you hear what I'm saying? And as they discipline themselves, amen, they begin to have a lifestyle, what we call in Bible, of consecration. Why am I always weak in the situation? It's because you have not consecrated yourself. See, church has done a lot of damage with certain kingdom principles.
and how we present certain things in our presentation. We've made consecration a legalistic thing in a sense. Consecration is a life that's dedicated. Amen. And in that consecration, there's prerequisites based on the pursuit. Do you hear what I'm saying? The Levites could not eat and do everything because they had to be consecrated to that profession. All right. Now, as a preacher, I have to be consecrated based on to the call of God on my life. Can I do what I want? Yes. But is it conducive to the goal? No. Paul says, listen, I got to bring my body under subjection. Hallelujah. He said, I don't want to preach to a whole lot of folk and not have a consecration. Because if so, I'm going to be thrown out of the game. In other words, I don't want to go to church, serve folk, go in and out, in and out, in and out. And then on the day of judgment, God said, listen, I never knew you because you were so messy. Go, you mean to tell me all the tithes I paid, all the offerings, all that? You mean I can't get in here? Something wrong with you. You lost your mind. No, God said, no, you got thrown out. Because you ain't had no consecration. Watch this. I'll make it a little plainer. Paul says, listen, 1 Corinthians 15:31, he said, at the end of that, he says, I, is that right? Die daily. What a concept. This is a thought. No, why? Because I'm trying to help y'all remain champions, and those that want to be one, I'm trying to tell y'all what to do. I can't just, this is church. You want to say, you want to get saved? Yeah, I want to get saved. You know it, right? Yep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God, forgive me. Forgive me for fornication. Forgive me, dog. Forgive me getting high. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So now I just keep going back and forth to church. Now, what is happening is I went and had the first death. I was buried with Christ, and now I'm risen with him. And I feel everything is okay because I made that first death. And I'm like, how can a man die again? He said, when you die, you only die once. But Paul says, no, there is a spiritual revelation to the life of a champion. He says, when you die, you now have to have a daily death. Yeah, yeah, I got to die every day. How can I do that? Well, you need to go talk to Nick because Nick had a problem with being born again. Okay, an athlete has to die every day, watch this, to his weakness so he can perfect his strength. I use the golf analogy. I don't want to use that. I don't want to be boring, y'all. In other words, if I got a weakness, say my weakness is depression. And that's my weakness. Every time I get to the zenith of God, all the devil got to do is give me adversity. Say, Terry ain't talking to me. Oop, there you go. I'm done. Now, I've been saved a long time, but the problem is I'm not dead to that. So as long as that is alive, is Satan say, Lord, you got that alive. And long as it's alive, I can use it against you. So Paul said, I got to watch my life, and every day I got to die to some stuff. My emotions get in it when I want to do good, when I want to take myself to another level. My feelings, how I feel, preacher, how I feel, get in the way. And then that manipulates my actions. I shut down, don't want to talk, don't want to deal with nobody. Why are you doing that? It's not the devil, it's my feeling. I'm not dead to that. So Paul said, listen, I have to die every day. Come on now. Every day? Every day? Kingdom culture. Every day. I got to say, listen, I got an emotional problem. Every day I got to guard my heart with all diligence. And when I talk to you and things get heated and I get that icky bicky stomach, I got to start preaching to myself. Lay hands on myself every day. When I feel that rejection, when I feel giving up, when I feel quitting, it comes all the time. Slap somebody high five and say, you got to die to that. I can't go watch that movie when they were swapping them women. What movie was that? Where she at? Where my rib go? There she go. What movie that we went to go see and they were sexing up and, oh God, they had Megan Gooden and all these beautiful women in that movie. Who was that? And we walked out. She's saying, I know not the man. Steve Harvey's movie, What Women Want Was? Think Like a Man. I'm getting ready to go in trouble. I need help here. I need help. I'm gonna help somebody. Oh Lord, I need you to drive the lust out. Drive the devil out. Then I feel free. Hey. I feel free. Hey. Then I go watch Think Like a Man. And I feel I'm free. But Megan Gooden, ain't she look too good. Come on, sir. And so I'm impressed with how wavy her hair is and Gabrielle Union and her little smile and dimple. And so I'm free. I think I'm free of the porn, but I'm not free of the body parts. You ain't dead to that. You think you're dead to the lust, but you're not dead to the body parts. So you say, oh, look at her eyebrows. Let's look. Y'all ain't saying nothing. And the next thing you know, here come that chief again. I'm still in Goliath. I'm going to get there if y'all give me 20 minutes. Can I have 20 minutes? On the other side of that mountain, say, come on in the valley, baby. You bad. We have to die daily. How, as a believer, can I live a life that's consecrated? I have to discipline myself to die daily and focus on my weakness to develop my strength. Focus on my weakness. John 12:24, Jesus teaches us revelation of dying. He says, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground, it abides alone. But if it die, I've been saved for 15 years and I know there's a plateau of glory, but it seems like I can't get there because the seed that can bring you to that place ain't dead yet. But God is telling you today, if you can die to that situation and God said, I'm bringing that thing in that ground, when it comes forth, it's coming forth. Y'all ain't saying that with much fruit. And so you wonder how one person got this and you ain't. Amen. They died to that thing. And every day they guarding their hearts with diligence. They walking out of movies. They turning the channel. They amen. They ain't looking at the shoes and ain't looking at the hair. And if it make them go ooh gaga, they done with it. Huh? Because they know every day if I don't, that devil gonna take me down. But the devil is a liar because I am a champion. When my emotions come in like a flood, I'm gonna praise God until the spirit comes in like a whirlwind and make a stand against him. When my mind plays tricks on me, I'm gonna read Bibles, quote scriptures, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and make a melody unto the Lord. I'm gonna talk about who Jesus is. I ain't gonna let that devil talk to me, but I'm gonna give God the praise. Oh, I touched a good sore spot because y'all looking at me deep.
Somebody say die to that. But when you die to it, you got to realize it's about loving life. That he that loveth his life is going to lose it. And this is the thing that messed with me for a long time in my walk with God. I was, amen, didn't realize that Dennis was in love with himself. How can somebody live a life full of rejection, low self-esteem and insecurity? Amen, have a pride spirit. It don't even match. I can sit with a crowd of people and feel crazy and alone. Amen, always feeling rejected. Nobody care. Nobody love me. But when the word says you love your life, amen, that can't be Dennis. But then God said in the Holy Spirit, you love your life. And that's what's keeping me to give you deliverance. Amen, because when you look at this world, you forgetting what I can do for you. You more concerned about what's happening in your life than what's happening with me in your life. You more concerned, amen, with folks not talking to you than you are for me talking to you. And that ain't nothing but a spirit of pride. So on my knees, I said, Lord, I don't like proud people. Drive this devil out of me. And I considered myself a prideful person. And the day that I did that, I died. Y'all ain't saying nothing here. You got to die to your old man. And you got to realize without Christ, you are nothing. Paul, amen, said I got to die every day. Because if I don't die every day, I will never have eternal life. He understood that after the death comes a judgment. He understood that whatever I do in this life, it's going to follow me to the grave. So I got to shake it off and make the devil take it back. He understood that sin is sinfulness. Sin is selfish. He understood that when I sin, I'm doing selfish. He understood that when I break God's law, that I'm satisfying myself. But I come to give somebody some good news. Somebody say, yes, Lord. That when, number one, amen, you can't come to God and let God do it in your life if you don't know or if you don't think what God has to offer is better. That is a deep statement. God will never destroy the yoke in your life if you feel what you got is better. You got to compare God with your stuff. And I come to let you know, I feel like preaching now. I come to let you know that either God's way or your way, and I present my body a living sacrifice. Somebody say, yes, Lord. It's not about Dennis. It's about Jesus. He's the one that saved me from sin. He's the one that watched me in the drugs. He's the one that kept me with the right mind. He's the one that watched me up and down the highway. He's the one that was there for me when everybody turned their back. Somebody say, Jesus, he is the one. And Jesus says, when you look at the Olympics, every Olympian would do a feat. And here comes the coach. And the coach would talk to him. And the coach would put their arm around him. And the coach would assess what they did. The coach would assess their performance. Sometimes it's an encouragement. Sometimes it's a rebuke. And there was a man putting a microphone to what the coach was saying. But every one of the Olympians, not one of them just did them and walked away. They all ran to the coach. I come to tell you that we got to run to Jesus. You can't do this thing by yourself. Sometimes he will rebuke you. Sometimes he will encourage you. But he knows what's right for you. I got to have my coach in my life. And my coach tells me, he tells me today, Dennis, if you want to be a champion, be holy, because I am holy. I hear you, Lord, because holiness without, no man will see the Lord. Give God a crazy praise. Give God some glory. Give God some hallelujah. Somebody say, I am God's champion. So I'm willing to lay aside every weight. I'm willing to give up my stuff. I'm willing, amen, to deny myself. And today I got to die. I got to die. I got to live a life of consecration. Somebody say, yeah. We ain't got no Hammond, but if I had 20 of y'all to praise God, I believe he'll shift the spirit. Give him a praise. Give him a champion praise. Give him a challenge praise. Give him a glorious praise. Somebody say, have your way in my life. I am the champion. I got the best coach in the world. Better than the Bulls. Better than the Lakers. Y'all ain't saying nothing here. Some coaches die. Tiger Woods' coach died. Tyson's coach died. And they both messed up. But my coach, he died. But he rose again to die of no more. He's with me going out. He's with me going in. He's with me in the morning. He's with me at night. He's sticking to me better than a closer than a brother. His name is Jesus. I said, Jesus, he's the author and the finisher of my faith. Let's praise your coach. I'm done. It's all about Jesus, man. I ain't perfect, but I'm a champion. Gabriella split the, how is she going to do? Is she going to get a silver? She's going to do this. She's going to do that. But this is one of her weak challenges. Sometimes she's distracted. She got on there. She flipped. She stretched. Then all of a sudden she missed it. Fell off the beam. She ain't go crying and say, I quit, can't make it. Oh my, what about me? I looked at her face. She kept a straight face. That little girl with all the cameras on her climbed back up on that beach. She started her up like she never failed. Then I watched how she looked when she finished. She go. She kept the same look. Looked up at the scoreboard. Dried her hands. Yes, I made a mistake, but that's part of the package. I made a mistake, but that was happening to training. I made a mistake, but there'll be another contest. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Yeah, you messed up. Yeah, you make mistakes. Yeah, the enemy comes in, but you're a champion. Get back up on the beam and live for Jesus. Bleachers. All right. Hey, la bolsa. Yada la bolsa, nada la bolsa. When no organist showed up, I praised him. When I heard they couldn't get the other one, I praised him. When I looked around, I praised him. I said, I'm no longer coming in here worrying about what ain't right, what ain't happening, what's going on. I am a champion. Let the champion say, yeah. Go home with your head up. You're a champion. Face that family with your head up. You're a champion. Go to that job, you're a champion. Fill out that application, you're a champion. Walk down that hallway like a champion. Go to the mall like a champion. Go to the doctor like a champion. Let me hear you say, I am God's champion. I'm going to leave you with this. Oh, shata la 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 basi. Oh, la la basa, la 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 basa.
Yeah, I backslid, but I'm a champion. Hallelujah. This race is not given to the swift, nor to the strong, but he that endured to the end, they shall be saved. And I'm in it, my favorite show, to win it. Oh, hallelujah. In my conclusion, I want y'all to have some church and tell three people, I'm in it to win it. I'm in this to win this. I'm in this to win this. He shot out of the ball, see. Hallelujah. I'm in it to win it. Do you hear us, devil? You hear it? I'm here to win it. I didn't say I'm the champion. I said I'm God's champion. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. How do I know? In the conclusion of my text, I'll pick it up next week. Philistines on one side, Israel, the church, on the other. The Philistine giant, the Nephilim giant, monstrosity, specimen of greatness, the representative of the world. But what was he? He was the offspring of the Nephilim, Goliath, son of Anak from Gath. Where did he come from? A perverse spirit of rebellion. When the angels of God copulated with the sons of men, and their spiritual offspring became giants in the land. Satan's perversion, trying to say we supersede God's creative order. Goliath, a perverted spirit. Spirit of Antichrist. But God said, I got a champion who's a sheep herder. And the sons of churchgoers are on the other side scared. But the person that had an experience with God, a young person, stood and looked at the giant and said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? How does he have a nerve to defy the church of God? In this last hour, the world is going perverse and crazy. Seems like everybody losing their mind. Still, people are scared. We running in the corners. Everybody's coming out but the Christians. But we are the champions. That to say to the devil, temple of the perverse spirits, the sons of Anak, from Gath, that are look at something greater than them, something mightier than them. And what do we have? A sling and a stone. All we got is a shepherd's tool. But with the might of God, we have conquered lions. We have conquered bears. In your life, you defeated drug addiction. You defeated molestation. Some of y'all, you've been molested and the devil tried to make you lose your mind. You here today. You got scars in your spirit, but you still got a praise in your spirit because you defeated that lion. Daddy beat you. Mama forsook you, but you're still here because you defeated it with a sling and a stone. Drug addicted, alcohol, when we wasn't saved, doing us, but with God's strength, we defeated it. All we done went through since we've been together, back over there, we still here. We got challenges, but we defeated everybody. And we're not going to let the king of this world and use his armor to make us have confidence in the God we know. David rejected Saul's armor, who was the tallest man in Israel, good looking. He should have been the big guy on the team to fight the devil, but he didn't. He let this young boy go with his armor. This world wants us to use its armor to make us feel successful, to make us feel that we're doing something, to make us feel we got sense, but this world's armor doesn't fit. When I wanted to kill myself, had the gun cocked, want to pull the trigger, this world's armor didn't stop my finger. It was a sling of God and his rock called Jesus. That stopped me from pulling that trigger. Beat him with a sling and a stone. Now that we're saved, he wants us to look at this devil. And use the sling and the stone that got you here today. Long story short, let the organist play some slow music. That one stone, guided by the hand of God, knocked the giant out. I know Sunday school, they make it look like it went through his head, sniper shot. And David cut his head off for a trophy. I tend to believe because of his monstrosity, God knocked him out. Because whatever God does, he does it for revelation. Why would you have David knock out the giant first? Because sometimes in our lives, we feel we're successful when the giants in our lives get knocked out. We'll come for prayer, feel relief, and say the giant is dead. But he ain't. He's knocked out. We pray for addictions and feel as though by faith we're free. Think we're free. But the giant was just knocked out. Yeah, we talking now. Oh, everything's fine because we talking now. But it's only temporary. Because the giant is just knocked out. So a month later, when I think I'm free from the issue's back. And I wonder what happened when I was at the altar and believed God. And the devil said, because God ain't got no power. Here's a revelation. God's got power. He was just knocked out. And you ain't cut his head off. I got to cut the head off of my chief. I don't want to get it knocked out. Feel comfort like I went to a psychiatrist. Service was good. I got prayed for. I rolled. I threw up. I cried. But a month later, I'm back to square one. I wonder if there's one person here sick of that foolishness. You know what he's saying today? No more when the enemy's knocked out. Get the sword. Get the sword that he carried. David, without a sword, went to the giant and then took the sword he carried. The head means authority. Y'all ain't seeing this. David knocked that joker out and said, I can't stop here. Saying, hallelujah, give me tax-free life and the king's daughter. He went with his little self. Where the giant had a spear like a weaver's beam. He picked that sword up. I'm going to take your sword, your level of destruction and authority. Y'all ain't saying nothing. And then decapitated him. off the authority from the giant. My emotional drama ain't come because it's God's package. It came because there was an assignment in my dysfunctional family to make me feel crazy. And that's the head of this chief. That lust is not because I'm crazy about toenails and abs and hair. It's because I was treated or molested. And that's the chief. I got to cut the head off. Daddy did it. Mama did it. I'm cutting it off. Take the sword. And I'm going back to the camp with the head of my enemy. Huh? Never be dealt with again. Y'all hear what I say? Today. Today. We are champions and we. I need a praise. Get a praise. Yeah. Satan is riding. He ain't riding you. He's riding someone near you that he's trying to hold. It's someone near you trying to get free. But Satan's doing this to them. And it's going to take your praise to loose them. So they can be. Y'all, you got to praise them for somebody in front of you. Praise them so that devil. Praise them for somebody. Praise them for your children. That devil's got your child. You got to praise him right now. Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, praise him. He's riding somebody's feelings right now. He's riding somebody's past. He's riding somebody's pity. Praise him right now. Cut his head off. We're gonna be somebody who will get free today. Oh yeah, I'm all something that I won't say. You're not about Sunday level. He cut down the Abo Sita and the Baha. You're not a Sita, I won't say. Somebody will get free today. So. Hallelujah. Oh, shall mama. Now we're going to pray. So David becomes God's champion for the nation. Since we have an assignment that's been on us for a long time to hold our charge. We can't compromise. We can't fight with folk. We got to hold our charge. Hey, we got to hold our charge. So when David, all right, that's all right. God's champion. Study his life. Mother, everything God does is for revelation. He beat him with a sling and a stone. Verse 51 say, he takes the devil's sword and cuts his head off. When's the next time that sword pops up? David running from Saul. Type of an enemy. And when he's about to take his life, the priest says, you know what we did with that sword that you used? To cut off David's head, Goliath's head, thank you. We wrapped it up. Yes. And we got it here in the tent. Yeah. Yeah. Now what you do, you can take that same sword now to beat this enemy. Yes. What you trying to tell me, God? I'm trying to tell you that the sword you use today to get free from your enemy, that later on God will give you the strength to go back, get the same sword that he used against you, against him. The same sword that he used against you. Don't try to figure it out. Just receive it. God will, with the temptation,
make a way of escape so you will be able to bear it. God said that when you're tempted to give up, to cry, to walk away, to say I can't make it, God said I will take that temptation. Now you use it to cut the next head off, the next situation, to the glory of God. I will with the temptation. I wish somebody give God some glory. And while you're praising him, say I am a champion. Why did, because some, oh Lord, shut up, Dennis. Some people go through the same thing repetitive, give up or they settle because then they can't figure out why they go through it. Not understanding that God said, I'm letting with what I'm, what happening to you. You wanted to get back on the internet so you could submit to your weakness again, but you couldn't log on. And then the computer froze. And then the line got busy. And God is saying, with the temptation, I'm making a way for you to escape so you can bear it. They drove by and didn't see you. Why didn't they see me? Because with, oh, y'all better hear what I'm saying. With it. Giving you a way out, yes. So you can do what? Hallelujah. Bear it.
That's right.
I'm going to shut up. Sometimes we deal with things and we don't handle it right. But as long as you're trying to handle it, I'm going to pray. Oh, shatarara sito robose. Yanara kaya rosara bosi amaha. We walk by faith, not by sight. Today, if you're saved, you're born again, you have Christ in your life, I want to tell you today and remind you, you are God's champion. Now, next Sunday, I'm stopping. There's 12 giants that each one of us have to face. And if the Lord say, I'll go over every 12, every sermon, one at a time. But today, we want to defeat that giant that's in that valley. Oh, God, have mercy. Looking up at me with intimidation and defiance and got me afraid to face him. I'm afraid of his voice when he talks in my head. He would cry out every day. Scripture says every morning he would defy them. Every day, somebody in here, that devil tells you, you ain't this, you ain't that. They don't love you. You can't do this. You can't live here. Look at your failure. You ain't saved. You ain't filled with the Holy Ghost. Every day you hear something negative about your success. The time you reach high, they remind you about that parent, that failure, that weakness, that rejection. Do you see the analogy? I'm on the mountain. He's in the valley. I'm in the high place. How is it I'm intimidated of someone who's defying the God that is in me? Get your sling ready, baby. Get your sling ready. I need somebody to look around in that brook. Get your 5 stones right now. Just look. Huh? Look around. Yep, that's a nice one right there. Determination. Yep, let me put that in my bag. Yep, faith. I'll put that in patience. Let me put that in my bag. Endurance. Yep, come on, get your stones. Put them in your, come on.
Get them stones. Come on now. Come on, get your stones. Come on, get your stone. By faith, come on, get your stone. Yep, yep. I only got four. I need one more. Okay, here go one. Hope. Uh-huh. Because hope will not make me ashamed. Uh-huh. All right, devil. All right, devil. Now, David didn't wait till the giant ran to him. He ran to confront the devil. Come on, get that stone in your sling. See yourself confronting. Come on, mom and them. Confronting your childhood. Confronting that little boy, that little girl. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Hey, shout to confronting the God that defines you being saved. Come on, come on. I want you to look him in his eyes. That's right. He got that deep voice. Come on, you've been hearing it a long time. Come on. But God is saying, when you're ready, I want you to loose that stone and I'll guide it to your defeat, to your success. Huh? Come on. Come on. Give us some praise. Come on. Loose that stone. Let God guide it to the victory. Hallelujah. I don't know if you can help me with this. Send it on down, Lord. Send it on down. Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down. Send it on down, Lord. Send it on. Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down. Let it on down, Lord. Send it on down. Oh,
send him on down.
Little bass run there.
Lord, let your Holy Ghost come on down.
Go faster, son, faster.
Oh, send him on down, Lord. Send him on down. Lord, let your Holy Ghost come on down. Send him on down, Lord. Send him on down. Lord, let your Holy Ghost come on. Oh, send him on down, Lord. Send him on down.
Come on, let's give him some prayer. Give him some.